Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. And it's been a minute because I have been traveling and training and doing all kinds of things, but I am just grateful for the opportunity to be back here with you, reading another great book, having another great conversation, and I can't wait to get into this. Today's book is The Three Billy Goats Gruff. Oh man, The Three Billy Goats Gruff. It's written or retold, should I say, by Mac Barnett and illustrated by John Clayson. John Clayson. Now, this story is easily 200 years old, started, I think, somewhere in Norway. And so many times the story's been retold, so many things have been added and taken away. And this is just a very entertaining version of that story. And so I think we should get into it. I think we should. Let's do it. The Three Billy Goats Gruff. Once upon a time, there was a bridge, and beneath that bridge, there lived a troll. The troll would sit in the mud and the rubble and trash, listening, waiting, hoping for someone to cross the bridge above his head. I'm a troll. I love to eat. I love the sound of hooves and feet, and paws and claws on cobblestones, for that's the sound of meat and bones. The troll used a filthy fingernail to scrape the wax out of his ears. Oh, all he had eaten lately was a leather boot and some goop he'd found in his belly button. Oh my gosh. He was practically starving. Clip clop went the bridge above his head. The troll scrambled to his feet and climbed into the light, crying, "Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge?" A little goat stood there quivering. "Oh, it's only me," said the goat. "A billy goat. My last name is Gruff." The troll began to dance and stomp. "I love goat. Let me count the ways. A rump of goat in honey glaze. Goat smoked, goat poached, a goat pot roast. A goat smorgasbord, goat smeared on toast. A goat kale salad, hold the kale. Goat escargot, the goat plus snails. On goat I'll dine, on goat I'll sup. You little goat, I'll eat you up." "Please," said the little goat, "no, you don't want to eat me. There's hardly any meat on my bones." The troll squinted. Now that he mentioned it, this goat did look kind of stringy. The goat smiled. "If you let me cross, I'll tell you a secret. Soon my big brother will come this way, and he is much fatter and tastier than I am." "Your big brother, huh?" said the troll. He tugged the long hair that grew from his chin. "Okay, you may pass." And the first billy goat Gruff trotted clip clop across the bridge. Down below, the troll chuckled to himself. "I can't believe I tricked that goat into telling me about his big brother. I'm so smart and fun and handsome." Clip clop went the bridge over his head. The troll scrambled to his feet and climbed into the light, crying, "Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge?" It was another goat. "It's only me," said the goat, the second of the billy goats Gruff. The troll was glad to see this goat was not so small. He clapped his hands together and squealed. "Oh, I love goat. Let me count the ways. Goat's Benedict with hollandaise. Goat jerky, jerk goat, curry goat, goat gravy in a silver boat. Goat flambé with candied yams. Goat clam bake with goat, not clams. On goat I'll dine, on goat I'll sup. You little goat, I'll eat you up." Please, said the goat. No, you don't want me. Troll frowned. Why not? You look delicious. The second goat smiled. I would only spoil your appetite, for if you let me cross, I'll tell you a secret. Soon, my big brother will come this way, and he is much fatter and tastier than I am. Your big brother, huh? The troll whistled. I'd sure like to see that. He twirled his chin hair around his finger. Okay, okay. You may pass. And the second billy goat Gruff trotted clip-clop-clip-clop across the bridge. Crouching down there in the dark, the troll was bursting with anticipation. This third brother sounds positively mouth-watering. I can't wait to eat him. The troll picked at a scab. What rhymes with strudel? Clip, clop, clip, clop went the bridge. The troll began drooling. Oh, my, here we go. He scrambled to his feet and flung himself into the light, crying, Who seeks to reach the grassy ridge? Who dares to walk across my bridge? Oh, said the troll, wow, you're really big. Yeah, this troll was ginormous, y'all. This goat was ginormous. The troll, straightening himself up as tall as he could, coughed and said in a voice that sounded quite small, I'll eat you up, you little goat. The big goat laughed. He lowered his horns and stomped his hoof. No, said the goat, you will not. And the third billy goat Gruff rammed into the troll, who flew off the bridge into the rapids and over the waterfall, which is known as the Big Waterfall. And then he went over the huge waterfall. And then he came to the waterfall we call the really enormous waterfall. The troll floated down the river around the bend where he ended up, I really can't say. I've never gone that far. There are too many mosquitoes. As for the third goat, he trotted clip, clop, clip, clop, and joined his brothers on the grassy ridge. The three billy goats Gruff are still there today, eating all they want, getting nice and fat. You can go visit them and say hello. All you have to do is cross the bridge. Yo, thank you, Mac Barnett. Oh, what a great version of the three billy goats Gruff. Now, I have a ton of notes, and I'm going to try to get it to you in the goodness that I can get it to you. But can we just talk for a moment about trolls? Yeah. Trolls in our modern day vernacular are those who visit and comment negatively on someone else's social media page or post or their content, right? Trolls, they strategically place themselves so that they can take opportunity to antagonize others by deliberately posting inflammatory, irrelevant, or offensive comments or other disruptive content, right? They don't mean the person any good. They prowl landscapes for the purpose of luring others into their traps so they can express their dominance over them. Ah, and to those who are experiencing or observing this behavior, it feels and looks offensive, but not to the troll. Trolls, they just don't appear, though, y'all. They are grown by relational environments that incubate their hearts through rejection and embarrassment or other negative experiences. Trolls. I'm not talking about the fairy tale trolls. We're just talking about people. And to y'all, to be human, means to have longings and loves. Our hearts are the place where our longings and our loves get incubated, and the environments we get exposed to, they create the conditions for certain things to be birthed into our lives. To be human. It is to be on the move in pursuit of something, after something. Like, we live our lives leaning forward or leaning towards something, and we cannot not be headed somewhere. Like, all of us are going somewhere. All of us live towards what we want, what our hearts hunger for. There comes a point in our lives, though, when we all experience famine, like emotional or relational famine, like our hearts get hungry and thirsty for connection. Famine. When my life is experiencing famine like this troll, I might have a hard time seeing things through the lens of what others may be experiencing, because my hunger and my thirst have created blind spots. Yes. And so when my heart is desperate, I may have a hard time leaving things to chance. Like, I can't be waiting for something to come to me. And so we begin to try to orchestrate situations so that we don't have to depend on others to get what we long for. Trolls, like, they often look like selfishness, or sometimes like jerks or bullies, because there is an element of aggression that comes with our desperation when we're hungry and thirsty. But beneath the surface of our behaviors, there is anxiety, there is struggles with intimacy, and a lack of meaningful social connections. At the heart of this behavior is an inability or an unwillingness to manage our appetite. This is greed. Greed is an insatiable desire for something or someone or anything. Greed. Like, greed has been around a long time. And, you know, the Romans, they used to use greed as a pejorative against other cultures and people, such as Egyptians or Punics or Oriental peoples or Jews. Like, it was their way of belittling others by taking more than what was needed or fair. Greed. It involves more, though, than just more material things. It also includes the desire or the obsession with status and importance. Like, at the center of greed is a sense of inadequacy, which may be driven by shame. And all of us have the capacity to want more than what is necessary. Because remember, it's not just material things, right? It's sometimes it's attention, or prestige, or the approval of others, or power, or influence, or likes and follows on our social media pages. Man, insatiable is a great word to describe the gnawing feeling that we have to get more of something that we already have enough of. Like, we start believing the lie that we are not enough, and that we don't have enough. We also mistaken greed for pride, or even narcissism. Although both have the same kind of psychological or emotional need to not feel inadequate, they are not the same. And we have a limited use of our English language, and often we use words that are easier to administer. So we call something pride, when in reality, it's hubris, H-U-B-R-I-S, hubris. See, pride is the pleasure that comes from relationship or association or achievement and possession of something that is seen as a source of honor and respect. They could take pride in being able to graduate or to get that new job. You know, I take pride in that. But that's different than hubris. Hubris, here's the definition. You ready? It is an overconfidence in one's ability that leads to overstepping the boundaries of our limitation and often results in life reminding us of our humanity and our limits. Come on! What? An overconfidence in our abilities that leads to overstepping the boundaries of our limitations, resulting in life reminding us that we're human and that we have limits. Yo, life be lifing. Uh-huh. And so it is an inflated sense of one's own innate abilities and talents. And it's tied more to the need for dominance than to actual accomplishments. Hubris. And the higher the hubris, the lower the self-esteem and narcissism, and the higher the shame proneness. Hubris. Maybe, just maybe, the troll became greedy because of a need that went unmet. Like, could it be that his behavior is driven by lack of more than just food? I mean, he does live under a bridge alone. And can I just remind you that loneliness is a form of starvation? And so one of the most ingenious defenses that we have against just dealing with negative emotions and thoughts or realities is called, in the psychological world, it's called reaction formation. And it's the mechanism by which we convert a feeling into its opposite. And so we'll take greed and turn it into something else. We'll turn it into happiness. We idealize something so that we don't feel negative emotions about it. Oh, we are gifted at this. Diane is her name. Diane Quoto. She wrote this article in the Harvest Business Review back in February. And it says, that it is society that decrees how much greed is enough. Like how we define where healthy ambition ends and unsavory interest begins is determined by our society. We will turn greed into something positive so we'll feel better about our overconsumption of things. See, greed is not just about acquiring more from me, that it's also about withholding good from you. I have one more phrase that I have got to give you, and it's called conspicuous consumption. Conspicuous consumption. It's spending money on or acquiring luxury commodities as a public display of economic power. And I'm probably going to offend somebody like with this, but like when you park your Mercedes-Benz or your BMW or your Range Rover in front of your low-income housing space, when you're barely eating but you spend $300 on shoes or that pocketbook. I know. It is conspicuous consumption. In other words, we want people to believe that we have more than we actually have. When we continue to associate our material worth with our personal value and esteem. Y'all, greed also can be known as an anxious hunger. Like, isn't it interesting? Like, and it bothers me that there's an increasing number of commercials advertising antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. Like, it's a clear indication that having more is not leading to having more peace, having more joy, living a better life. Like, we have more than we've ever had as a country. We have more than we've ever had in our lives, and we still want more. Our conspicuous consumption is just a front for our own sense of inadequacy. Okay, I'm not going to just leave you there. I want to offer at least a few suggestions on something that you can do to deal with your troll-like behaviors. And it means that we're going to have to get some new behaviors, some new habits. And so here's the step one. Step one is, I need you to get honest. Like, it's okay not to be okay. Like sometimes we're not okay. And it's okay not to be okay. But guess what? It's not okay to stay that way. If you're not okay, it's not okay to stay that way. It's okay for you to acknowledge it. It's okay for you to live your truth. But it's not okay for you to make that your life. It's time that we start developing new habits. And new habits are only formed when we change the way we're thinking. And changing the way our thinking requires us to be honest with ourselves and stop pretending like we've got it all together. So step one is just getting honest with yourself. Just get honest with yourself. And step two is this. Start saying no to your appetite. I want you to dig a little deeper into why you always have to have more. Like, what's that about? Like, really begin to reflect on what's really driving your appetite for more. Can I just tell you? Binging anything is an act of greed and is a weapon formed against your progress and your productivity. Insatiable. Remember, that was the word we used to describe this, the gnawing feeling to get more of something that you already have enough of. We need to stop believing the lie that we are not enough. And so saying no to your appetite is the beginning of that. And so I got to be honest. I got to start saying no to myself. And here's the third step. Get connected. So if loneliness is a form of starvation, then connection is nourishment to the soul. It means you got to ease up on your judgments and start creating some space and offering some grace for others who may be troll-like because you got some troll-like behaviors too. See, this is an issue that cannot be addressed in isolation. It's got to be addressed in community. We need each other. So let's become a little more generous with our time, with our talents, with our treasures. So that maybe, just maybe, we can help somebody come from underneath the bridge that they've been hiding under. And we journey with them out into the open. If you're saying to yourself, I need help with this. Like, I don't know if I could figure this thing out. I listen to me. Just reach out to me. Use the link below and we can set something up. And then let's come up with a plan to get you to a place of peace and wholeness. Because that's a good place to be. Y'all, this is goodness. I'm Dante Poole. This is the Life Sculptors Podcast. And if this is helping you, if any of these podcasts versions, episodes are helping you. I would love to hear from you in the comments section, or just email me. And remember to like, subscribe, and share. Like, don't hoard it all to yourself, but share it with others. And also remember, you're enough. Until next time.